Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Home Barista Podcast for home baristas with me, your host Sean, aka the Drumming Barista. Hi everyone, and thank you for tuning in once again to the Home Barista Podcast for home baristas, and here we are in episode 3. And man, I'm so excited to introduce you guys to a new series that I'm calling Coffee with Me and My Barista Friends. In this series, I'll be sitting down with a fellow barista and getting to know them more over a cup of coffee. To begin, let me introduce you to my friend Jay, aka your local barista NZ on Instagram, who is a professional barista, budding coffee roaster, and all-round amazing Instagram personality who works for First Hand Coffee in the beautiful Hawke's Bay region of New Zealand. Me and Jay sit down and talk about everything coffee, pros and cons of being a barista, coffee roasting, some personal life events and passion projects that are in the works. Now make sure you have a beautiful cup of coffee in hand, sit back and enjoy. Hi Jay, thank you for coming along and being a part of this podcast. And also,
yeah, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Honestly, you're so welcome. Thank you for coming in, being my very first person in the co-lead. We're just going to jump straight into it. I've got a load of questions for you, and I know you said you've got a couple for me, so it'd be cool to just go back and forth and have a good chat about it all. So yeah, jumping straight in. Tell us about yourself on a personal level, but for now, leave out the coffee stuff.
Okay, So my name's Jay, cool. Jay Sanders.
Hi, Jay.
I am a barista.
Cool, yep.
That's enough of the coffee chat. how old am I? I am 27.
Nice.
It's always a question that you have to ask is how old are you? And you have to think about it. It's when you know you're getting old.
Yeah.
So born in Perth, Australia. Moved here when I was about 3 years old and lived mainly in the North Island throughout maybe every 3 years we moved a bit, just with Dad's job and all that. So got friends all over New Zealand, which is a bonus. And yeah, mainly did all my childhood up in Whangarei Heads. Absolutely cool. Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
If you get the chance to go there, you need to. It is so good.
Yeah.
And best childhood. Grew up on a dairy farm, so got that side of the background as well, which also helps with milk.
Yeah.
Enough coffee talk.
Totally.
and then yeah, moved down here, did high school here, Havelock North High, intermediate as well. And yeah, just decided that university or anything wasn't really for me because I was more into the arts and I was stubborn and basically didn't want a book to tell me how to write a song or how to perform.
So just
dove straight into hospitality and away we are.
Beautiful. That sounds great. Sounds so cool. And just for the listener's sake, when you say here as in where you're living, where are you living?
Oh yeah, Hawke's Bay.
Beautiful.
The beautiful Hawke's Bay.
Yes, and it is too. Very beautiful Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, we're so lucky here.
Cool. So jumping into coffee questions. So what got you into coffee and who are you currently working for?
So if we go back to basically like my old CV.
Yeah, please do.
I started basically in a place called Heaven's Bakery, and they used to do really good pastries. This is probably going back to when I was about 15, I think it was. And so I was mainly just till front of house kind of thing, and it was just a tiny little hole in the wall bakery. And one of my friends worked at one of the other shops in, I think she was in Tamatea, which is towards Napier side. And she then basically poached me to come work with her at Coffee Club.
The good old Coffee Club.
Yeah. And so I was just front of house waitressing, all that kind of stuff in the Hastings shop that they still have here. And my friend at the time, she was pregnant and the smell of coffee was actually setting her off.
Really?
And so she's like, you and me, we're going to swap. I'll teach you how to make coffee. And that's how it started. Cool. So I have her to thank.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. And then, yeah, went and did a few things in between. So I did reception at Fastway Couriers. I did sales and marketing at Cellini Wineries.
Cool. Yeah,
Did some logistics for Triple P Logistics and Turners and Growers as well. So did a little bit, got my feet out in different paddles and all that, and then decided I wanted to come back to hospo. I just missed the people.
Yeah.
And so jumped back in and got back with Writing Co., which is a place in Havelock North. And the owners at the time, they also had a place called Hugo Chang's, which was this amazing little cocktail bar. Like, we miss it so much.
Oh, really?
They were told that they were only going to get one summer out of it because it was basically in the space of a pop-up
where
they ended up getting three summers out of it. So we managed to jump between doing some cocktail work at night, and then in the morning you're doing service in the cafe.
Yeah.
And they also had Mama Cedars, which is a really nice, like, westernized Mexican place.
Mm.
They do really good fried chicken.
Nice. Here come in on Bay. Now, fried chicken.
You have fried to go chicken. For the fried chicken. Mama Cedar fried chicken. It's all so good.
Nice.
But yeah, and then they actually sold the Ride & Co. once Hugo Chang's also shut down, and just wanted to franchise Mama Cedar. And so I took the opportunity and went and spoke with Al, who's the owner of First Hand.
Yeah.
Because we were actually using their beans in Ride & Co.
Oh, cool.
Before it all swapped.
Yeah.
And so I jumped over to First Hand and Al said, right, so the development where Hugo Chang actually was all got bowled down because there was a new development coming.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm putting my roastery in there and there'll be a cafe in the front.
Yeah.
I'll get you to manage it and we can go from there. And so, so that's how I kind of came about to be in First Hand and managed to float around at the other shops that he's got while this place was being built as well. So it took about 2 years for it to be built.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
a mental story, and I suppose like a real a real cool way to get into it. And I suppose as well, that's like the beautiful thing, eh? There's lots of people who will just go straight into coffee and then not really leave coffee. But then there's other people like yourself who try out so many different things, or started somewhere completely different and then went to like every other aspect of like hospo. And then eventually came into coffee. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it was like, so when I was back at Coffee Club, I struggled to actually drink coffee myself. And I've got so many friends that are baristas that can't drink coffee. And like, you know, it does run through my head on how do you know it's tasting good, but that's fine.
Yeah.
There's obviously other ways, but yeah, so I couldn't drink the coffee at Coffee Club. Don't know why. And then when I started work at Ride & Co. With First Hand, all of a sudden I was fine. Like, I wasn't basically ending up in the fetal position.
Interesting.
You know, I was all good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's where it actually started, like, for the passion of coffee.
Yeah, cool.
Was when I could actually drink it and enjoy it. So.
Yeah, totally. Nice. Beautiful. Well, that leads me perfectly onto my next question for you. Yeah, why did you become a barista? And also, you've touched on this, but touch on it a little bit more if you like. But why did you get into working with First Hand Coffee?
Yeah, so basically, like, I really liked the flavors and the company itself, First Hand. You know. Throughout, I guess, my years of doing bits and pieces throughout, you hear stories of bosses and who you want to work for and who you don't want to work for. And Al was like, you want to work for Al. Like, if you meet him ever, like, you'll understand what I mean. He's just the most, like, amazing boss that just looks after you, which helps with, I guess, obviously the environment and the experience as well. And like, to become a barista, it does take a special breed. Anyone in hospitality. Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it depends, like, how even how you vibe with people. Like if you almost like say vibe too much and you absorb too much, because you can become people's basically like therapists, you know, you can be the counselors a lot of the time, you know. So, and that's not a negative either, but it can be quite draining in times.
Oh, totally. Yeah, 100%.
But I wouldn't change it. Like being a barista is just, it gives you the social cup that you need, and it gives you the experience you need. And as I always say, like people say, like, do you ever get a day off? You know, but it's because like I'm always there. I feel like I'm not working when I'm there because I'm just hanging out making coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and when you can feel that way about a job or a career path, then you know you're in the right place.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Yeah, nice.
But yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good point, I suppose. And there's a lot of people that I personally know as well that will do exactly that same thing. They will go to work when they're not working and just hang out. And like,
yeah.
And they'll go to the cafe, they'll go to the restaurant, whatever like hospo venue they're working at, and literally just hang out with people because, exactly like you say, the culture of the team is like really good. It's a comfortable environment. You end up making friends with the customers, which I know sounds a bit strange to say, yeah. But there's definitely a couple of customers when I was working in coffee, of course, that I made friends with. And there was times as well that we would finish our shifts and then we would go out for drinks with those people, but they're customers. Yeah, and you're like,
100%.
Well, this is weird. But then it goes back to what you were saying about like the social aspect of it and how it fills up so many of like your tanks and like your social tanks and
yep.
things as well, because there's just so much socialness, if that's a word, socialness involved in actually being a barista. So yeah. So cool.
You know, it's like with the customer relations and all that kind of stuff, and even to do with staff, they become so much part of your own routine and your ritual and things like that. And, you know, I've had even recently, it made my heart really warm. I had a customer come in and say that her and her husband, they were talking about how they came in and told me this about their son, because he fell off his bike pretty bad. He jumped off a 6-foot thing and just came over too hard. And yeah, so poor buddy. But and they were like, you know what, we actually look forward to coming and seeing you and telling you things. Like, you make that much of an impact on us. And it's like, I just make your coffee.
Yeah.
You know, like it blows my mind that I can have that much of an impact.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, right, that is exactly it. It's just like, we can make like, so I'm going to say we, because I'm still talking as myself someone that works as a barista, even though I don't.
You still make coffee full-time. Though.
I still make coffee. So I suppose I'm like a home barista is what I'm calling myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's so true, because it's just like, it's mad to think how you just making something that takes you, what, like 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, could even be less than that. And the conversation that you have with that person whilst they're on their way to work, or whilst they're on their, maybe like their morning break or their lunch break, just the impact you can have on them and the stories you can get from people, you can share the things you can learn about people. It's mad. But it's also exactly like you say, how it just kind of warms your heart a bit, because then it's just like you end up making a relationship with people without even realize that you're making that relationship with them, even though you only see them for like a minute or two of your day. It's amazing.
It's crazy. But it's like, you know, to think of it, I've got customers that say have followed me, you know, through the years. And it's like, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, I've known you and made your coffee for 7 years.
Wow.
You know, and then it's like, you know, they'll take you out for dinner, as you said, for drinks and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, they really look after you. Like, it's all about, everyone says in any industry, it's all about who you know.
Oh, totally.
Very much so in hospo. Mm. It is very much that, I do say. But, yeah, it's even the customers that that can make or break it. And just like weekend, we can make or break someone's day by a good coffee or a bad coffee.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. You know? That's it.
So.
And if you've made someone a bad coffee, you'll definitely know about it because they'll come back and tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully they'll come back and tell you and not just like post it all over TripAdvisor or Google or whatever.
But yeah, please. But that's, yeah, I suppose that's a conversation maybe yeah. not to have to the public. So guys, they're the conversations that baristas will have in the office or maybe when everyone's gone home at free fatty and you're just like, oh, that person came in and,
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even need to talk about it. You just look at your coworker and they're like. Yeah.
And you just know. You just know because you feel that tension between them. You feel that tension between them and the customer. And then, yeah, you just turn around, you have a little look at someone, little smile, little smirk, and you're like, oh, man.
Can I go? Can I say what I want? We'll hold it back now.
Yeah, so true. Cool. So just to drop an easy question in there for you. If you were a coffee, what would you be and why?
See, I reckon like as in a coffee bean or a style of coffee?
Oh, good question. I'm going to say style of coffee. Yeah.
I'd probably say I'm a V60.
Oh, okay.
You know, cool. I like being able to change. And I guess you've got a lot more ways of being able to bring out sweetness or sours or anything like that with a V60. You can do that obviously with a Kaleida and AeroPress, but you know, V60s are kind of like a good staple one, even like to start with. And yeah, definitely a V60.
Nice. That's very cool. And also I like the fact that you touched on the different sides and how you could bring out different sides of coffee with a V60.
Yeah.
I love it because that's one of the things, as you know, that's one of the things that I love to do. And like, I love to talk about and showcase to people all the different things you can do with a V60.
Yeah.
And I also love, just going to pinpoint the fact as well that Jay just mentioned that it's a good starting point, which it is. And me and you have had a conversation about that a few times over Instagram and messages, like you asking me how do you kind of dial in a coffee or like what do you do or what's your favorite kind of brewer. I love that. That's real cool. Yeah.
What would you kind of be? What would you picture yourself as?
Oh, yeah, good question.
Depends on what mood I'm in as well.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, if I'm needing to be on the go.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, good question. I think for me, there's lots of different things, but to pinpoint it to one, I'd say I'm probably an AeroPress. And I think reason being is because with an AeroPress, same as any other brewer, I suppose as well, you can really play around with your dose. And I think sometimes depending on the day and depending on how I'm feeling, I can be either like a really like perky person and like really kind of loud, optimistic, like, yeah, let's go for the day. And then there's days where I'm just like, man, I don't want to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
And I feel like
I just want to get this coffee done.
Yes, just want to get this coffee done. And I feel like, I know that sounds weird, right? But I feel with an AeroPress, like you can kind of do that. It's just like you can make yourself either like a really big dose coffee. So it's quite like in terms of like flavor notes and acidity levels, probably like really, really big and bold. And then you can like lower that down to like maybe 10, 11 to 12 grams of coffee and have like a real nice chill kind of sweet, lovely tasting coffee. And that's sometimes how I feel sometimes in the morning when I wake up and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna have something real nice and chill. So
yeah
I'm an AeroPress.
AeroPress.
Okay, let's move on to a couple of deeper questions then. So guys, the reason why I asked Jay to come onto this podcast, more so as well, of course, to have a chat and get to know her some more, but just to talk about the pros and cons of being a barista, which is a question I get asked quite a lot. Used to get asked it all the time when I was working, still get asked it most days. So Jay, I want to know from your perspective and your experience, I suppose, the pros and cons of being a barista, And I think it will be good for everyone to hear your take on that too. Especially coming from, I suppose, especially coming from like a relatively small town as well.
Yep.
Like on the grand scheme of like Christchurch, Wellington, maybe Auckland.
Yeah.
Coming from like a bit of a smaller town. Yeah. So what's your take on that?
So obviously the bonus of being a barista is coffee.
Mm.
You know, totally. Depending on your boss as well, you've either got unlimited coffee or one coffee a day. So pros and cons. I mean, yeah. And obviously there's bonuses with being baristas. Like, as I've said, even the customer relationships, you do feel quite rewarded, you know, when you get complimented on your coffee, whether it be latte art or taste wise. You also, I guess a con of it is when you get slight complaints of things not being hot enough, even though you've seen it sitting there for 10, 15 minutes and they haven't taken a sip of it. And that's the thing of having to, I guess, always what I was taught, I guess, by one of my bosses at Writing Co. was you always fall on your sword. That was actually a saying that has stuck. And so even if it wasn't your fault, just fall on the sword anyway, you know, and take the blame. I'm really sorry, you know, I'll remake it for you. And then obviously that's when you can turn around and kind of, you know, make those eyes at the person. Like. But yeah, so it's only, I think the pros outweigh the cons for sure. Mm.
Yeah.
It's either a place where you can see yourself in a career or you can see yourself in as a job. You know, there's those two differences. For me, obviously, being a barista is a career move rather than just a job. It's not like the gap filler that it used to be kind of seen as, maybe even as close as like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was so seen as true. Just the gap filler, where now we've, especially here in firsthand, we obviously roast our own coffee beans. And recently I've been given the opportunity alongside with one of my coworkers to train up and learn. And I think eventually we're going to battle it out and see what kind of happens, whether we share the role or if we – one takes all thing. Well, so that's going to be fun either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get great coffee, you get good experiences with people and co-workers, bosses, everything like that. It's quite a rewarding job.
Yeah. Nice. That's, yeah, cool. Cool. That's really cool. I actually want to pick up on just a couple of little things that you threw in there, which I think is really, well, actually quite key. And I was hoping that we would have got onto them as well. How you mentioned about the fact that that for you on a personal level, being a barista is not like a seasonal job. It's not like a gap filler. Yeah. And I think there's still that kind of, there's still that fashion trend, right? About being a barista with like students and maybe certain people who just come into it because they need a summer job. Right, they need something because university.
They don't want to pick apples.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to pick apples. They don't want to pick grapes. Yep. They don't want to go and do like a couple of months in like a vineyard to get the next part of their visa, kind of thing.
Yeah,
But it's like there is still that fashion trend, I suppose, and that's potentially, even though we both use it to our advantage, that's where social media maybe kills that side of it. Because of the fact that it looks, because it looks cool, right? It's like a really, a really picturesque job. You can put it up on the gram. It looks really cool. Got some really cool people doing it. There's people like me that have heaps of tattoos, and like everyone's like, oh yeah, I want to be that barista guy with like the beard and the tattoos and the beanie on, and
exactly,
you know. And it's just like, well, that's great, and it's cool that's encouraging you to get into that. But I think this is the really great thing about this chat, and like the things we try to do over social media, is that we're trying to kind of show a way that this is actually like, that this could be like a lifelong thing, like a lifelong job for a lot of people. And I think just showcasing that and getting like the younger generation, the people that are coming up through the ranks of like the coffee industry, to understand that a bit more, that you're going to be working alongside people who have been in it for like a couple of years or want to be in it for like the rest of their life.
I definitely like agree there, because so social media, it can work in both ways. It can either do us the favor or not the favor. And it is a style thing as well. Like you think of a barista, you think almost like what people used to call a hipster, you know, way back when, or a punk, even punk is now seen as the style of baristas, you can say. And it's quite interesting to see like how style has changed with baristas throughout the years, whether it be like the bartending side of baristas. You know, that's a whole nother ball game.
It really is.
But it's what I would really, personally, what I would really like to see happen. I know that probably New Zealand doesn't have enough to, I guess, make it an option. But say, for instance, at EIT, the technology place here, you know, who's to say that the little barista course that they've got there, that they actually don't make it into a decent course and they go into more things about the roasting and all this kind of stuff, not just how to make a cappuccino or things like this, where you could actually learn that on the job. You know, I'd love to have like NCEA qualifications available for people if they wanted to study more into coffee or roasting or things like that, but that's just not available, like say in Hawke's Bay at least, you know, and it's all either online in Australia or America or, you know, things like that. So that would be quite cool to see if like it could become a thing.
Totally. So cool. So then would you be saying that there's a lot of baristas or a lot of people in Hawke's Bay at the moment that are actually wanting that? Like are they wanting to understand the industry more? That like are they wanting to get more involved?
I say that there would be a lot more people that are wanting to even just upskill and gain more knowledge, but don't know where exactly to go for that. Because you can go onto blogs, you can go onto socials, you can go onto anything like that, and where a lot of, say, we get a lot of kids who have done the barista course at EIT and come through with their CVs, and, you know, if we can, we do give them the jobs and stuff like that. But with it being quite a basic course, it would be cool if there was one that was, you know, how they have different courses for the fashion side of things or the food side of things. You know, it's just as important to have good food and good coffee, good drinks and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, and because coffee is obviously, I think, coming up in the world with a lot more new tricks, new things, everything like that, it's taking over a bit. So it would be cool to have that on offer for people that, say, haven't even worked hospo but just want to learn. You know, some people want to learn a language that they've never been, you know, to the country.
So true.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, so cool. Okay, so one thing I picked up there, you were talking about how there's all these new tricks and trends and stuff coming up. You know me and followers who have been following me on Instagram at the Drum and Barista over the last couple of days or just over the last few months will know that I'm definitely into like this new fourth wave of coffee, as we're calling it, the instant coffee. So yeah, what's your, I would love to get your thoughts on that and like see what you think about it.
I'm all for it. You know, nothing beats convenience and good coffee.
Yeah.
And like, it's fun to have something that has been around for quite a while. You know, instant's been around for obviously longer than we've been born. Yeah. You know,
so true.
And to finally have some decent single origins or even blends come through, it's just nice to see rather than having to reach for the caramel Makona, you know.
yeah, which is never a good time. Which is never a good time. No. Those like artificial flavors, and then like all the ones you get in like the supermarkets, and you're like,
it's a cool new process, and obviously, hopefully they would have seen that we have released our own instant at First Hand, which is a single origin Colombian,
which is absolutely beautiful. Very, very good. For everyone that's listening, go and buy some. Go buy some. I'll put the link on my Instagram. Jay has got it all over her Instagram. Instagram for First Hand is firsthand.coffee. Go have a look, you should definitely go and get some. As Jay said, super convenient. And I suppose at the end of the day, that's, as humans, that's what we want, right? We want that convenience.
Yeah.
Mm.
And great. Good taste.
And good taste.
You
know,
you want quality and convenience.
Quality and convenience is definitely it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it's awesome to see like the other, say, specialty coffee roasters and all that coming out with their own as well, like Flight, you know, and all of these other people that are just slowly popping up being like, hey, I've got one, you know, and it's actually quite cool like to see everyone kind of popping in and, you know, getting on board with it. And as you said, like a fourth wave, you know, it's crazy. Like how many more waves can there be?
I know, right? You know? Yeah. It's mad, eh? Because exactly like you said, the fact that instant coffee has been around for so long and everybody knows what it is, but I think it's got to a point now where everybody's so used to it that I suppose it's the same as going to like your local cafe, right? You get so used to something that you don't realize like where it's come from, like what it actually is, like what it serves, the purpose that it serves. But I think this is like the really cool thing about the fourth wave of coffee is that we're currently in this third wave that everyone knows and loves. Single origins, you go to your cafe, somebody like yourself who will be standing behind the bar. If a customer comes in and goes, hey, I've got a bit of time, got a bit of money, I wouldn't mind trying the single origin that you've got, but I'd like it prepared on like a V60. You know, that's like the really cool stuff. And that's all the stuff we love at the moment. But it'd be interesting to see whether cafes pick up on instant coffee for the cafe, you know?
Yeah, it's been interesting because, like, I'll do, say, little tasters, you know, because obviously we've got it for sale and people are like, what's that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's instant. And I'm like, you need to change that, you know? Yeah. This instant is, you know, not, so I always do like a little piccolo size, you know, just for them to try because you don't want to over-caffeinate them if they only want the wine coffee anyway. But, yeah, and it's been quite popular. It's been moving really fast and it's even good for baking. I think I said for you to try it if you were a baker to try it. But
I
did it in some muffins.
But, did you?
Yeah.
That's very cool because, yeah, you said to me to do it in muffins. And I think you said it to our friend on Instagram at The Magic Roast. I saw a comment that you put on his post because he got some firsthand instant coffee a couple of weeks ago. You said to him straight away, you were just like, do some bacon. And I was
Baking.
Jay loves bacon.
I know. It was really interesting because I was wanting to be like, yeah, cool. So this will make it like literally like a mocha. You would have thought. And it just made it into like this really nice dark chocolate muffin. Like it didn't taste like it had like coffee in it. It was so good.
Wow, that's amazing.
So good.
I love that. It's so good. One other question for you is we've touched on quite a few aspects of being a barista already. And like what it kind of shows, way like things to be careful of, I suppose. Things to take into consideration. So if you had somebody come up to you and ask you these questions outside of this kind of format, and they're like, hey, I'm looking at getting into coffee, how would you encourage them, or like what would you say, and also what kind of things would you share with them to look out for, or how would you get them ready for stepping into being a barista?
Yeah, so mainly being a barista at home, you're saying, or to even jump in front of house?
I reckon to jump front of house. So let's go right out there into like the professional side of it. You know, they've had a bit of experience being at home. So they've made a couple of coffees at home, maybe watched a couple of YouTube videos. Good old James Hoffman, you know, everybody legend. Who loves that guy with his silky smooth voice.
So yes, you could just have him in the background and just like
all the time,
just so easy,
so easy listening. Now being like an English guy, you know, I have to I also have to take that to heart at the same time and be like, we just have nice sounding voices. You know,
I should say. And I'm Kiwi sounding, and it's a bit. That's all good. Well, basically, like what I would tell someone if they were serious about, you know, say wanting it to be more so the career move than say a job, is to, you know, obviously go out and do your own kind of personal research. Like if you've for instance in Wellington, if you've got the opportunity to go around to cafes and test out the ones that you say really enjoy the environment of, even the sounds, like that plays a big part, music in the cafe. But mainly if you enjoy the coffee where you're at, there's nothing wrong with just being like, hey, like I'm a green bean, I'm fresh. Can you teach me the tricks of the trade? Even a lot of places would even be open to, like, if you wanted to volunteer and jump in for a couple of hours just so that you can learn the skill. You know, some places will let you do that, and then obviously that's a good sign that it shows that you're keen, and they'll be like, oh, you may as well just be on, you know, the books or something, you know. And or even, like, you don't have to be a barista to start off with. You don't even have to like coffee to start off with. You know, wow, you could just so like true. The people interaction. Mm. You could just be really good with the chat, you know, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know, we always need till ninjas.
Till ninjas. I love that. That is such a good expression. Yeah. And that is actually, that's so true, because it's just like really come to think of it. And I've actually written about this a little bit in a blog post that I'm going to be posting soon. But I love the point you made where it's just like, you know, even if you don't like coffee and you don't particularly want to work behind the machine, if you've got really good chat and the confidence to actually stand in front of people, you know, that's huge. Because what a lot of people potentially don't realize is that 90%, I would say on a personal level, now you can say that I'm completely wrong on this, but I'd say that like 90% of being a barista is actually talking to people.
Oh, 100%.
Because there's...
I say 100%.
Yeah, nice. Because there's so much you do behind closed doors, you know, that like 30 to 45 minutes before the cafe opens, people don't see because they're still at home asleep where... We all wish
you're
we were.
Waking up. Well,
everybody that works in coffee is like, I wish I was still asleep right now. But even though you're getting to your place of work at like 6:15, 6:30 in the morning, and like you're dialing in, you're doing all of that stuff, caffeinated by 7, like right up to your eyeballs, you know, like that's only such a small part of your day. But then actually like the biggest part of your day is the which we've touched on quite a few times already, is that time you spend with the customers, like talking to them, interacting with them, asking them about their day.
That was one of the things. When I say one of my bosses, say at Riding Co, it was owned by four people at the time. So I had four bosses.
Wow. That's a lot of bosses. And
it was Wright and Co. One of them was Eshla Wright and the rest were the Co. Funny enough, Esh actually worked with Al when he first opened up the Box Espresso in Clive. So it has all somehow come back round. But anyway, one of my bosses, he's an amazing front of house. He was mainly, say, the bar side of things for the nights and everything like that. So there was a really cool dynamic crew of bosses that just knew how things worked. And one thing that he drilled into us was love your customer. And so basically, even if you're having a bad day, your customer can't know. Yeah,
so true.
You know, and so
yeah,
that's why you have a lot of, so kids that come through, and you might find that a lot of them are, you know, into the arts or things like that, and they always seem to be quite loud and bubbly and, you know, everything. But sometimes that can just also be a front. It can also be a character that you put on, you know. You could have had like the biggest argument with your partner 20 minutes prior yeah, or something, you know, but yeah, you can't tell that your eyes are bawling, yeah, you know, yeah, you know, whatever, you know. So it's always about love your customer. And, you know, sometimes you can have those chats with your customers as well. Yeah. You know, yeah, you can actually go into those deeper levels with them as well.
That's but so true.
Yeah. Love your customer and fall on your sword was some of the main things that I would take in from
Words to Live by Jay. Yeah. Love your customer and fall on your sword. Yeah. That's what we should title this podcast. Love your customer and fall on your sword. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
That's so cool. Great. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing those. That was amazing. So there's one question that I would really love to like dive into, and we can take as much time on this as we can. You've been super kind with me lately to let me into a couple of personal aspects of your life. And one of those aspects was about your sister who has sadly passed away. Very sorry to hear that, but thank you for being open and thank you for being raw and honest about that. It's such a cool thing to know. You said that you're more than happy to talk about this and a little passion project that is coming out of that, which will be in memory of your sister, if I'm correct in thinking that. So would you mind telling us some more about it?
Yes. So cool. So my sister and her partner, they both sadly passed away in a car accident in 2020. Maya, she was studying at EIT, doing one of the arts courses. And she also was working with me at workroom and everything. So it was actually quite cool that she was learning coffee, everything like that. She loved coffee. She was obsessed with coffee. She was a mocha drinker through and through.
Cool.
But we were getting there. cutting out the sugar.
Nice.
You know. But so one of her last projects that she was working on at school, she was actually doing things with coffee. So any of the sacks that we had left over, she would, you know, she was doing like embroidery of latte art all over it. She was doing all these coffee cherry paintings. They were doing like their own prints and everything. So, you know, carving out the wood to make these prints. And she has this picture of this coffee cherry with its leaves and all that. Really, really cool. And she had it all carved out. And there was a couple of prints. And I was just like, right, that's the one. That's the one. So I've stolen her artwork and made it my logo. You know, I'm ripping off my sister, but that's fine. So I've got some shirts coming, cups coming, all those little things. Basically with like her touch and me just being your local barista.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and it's all worked out, you know, that I steal her art. You know, but it's in a way it's kind of cool because it was designed to be a print, and I'm managing to get it printed, say like onto shirts and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, so I've obviously had to work things out with mum and dad and be like, you're good with me stealing this. And they're like, oh, for sure. Like, you know, she probably would have let me do it anyway. So yeah, we've got some of those things underway. I've got eventually what I we'll call the Maya cup, because she hand painted an eco white cup, like one of the takeaway ones. And so it wraps all the way around. And so I'm trying to find the right, not say takeaway cup, but like the right shape of a keep cup that I'm wanting, but without having to cut the cup. having to try and wrap it around. And so one of my friends, they're actually a photographer and editor, everything like that. And so they're like, right, let's do this. So they've taken 1,000 frames of me slowly moving the cup, and they're piecing it all together for me to have at least like on it as a digital copy, so that I can send it eventually to a company that, you know, I would want to manufacture them. So
yeah. Wow, that's epic.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot of work.
It is.
Nice.
It is. But no, it's very cool stuff, and like she's super talented. Yeah. So, you know, if I ever open up my own place, you know, I've got the art all sorted. I've covered that, you know.
That's so cool. Nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you touched on the t-shirt. So is there going to be like a couple, is there going to be like a couple of different designs?
So I've mainly just gone for a staple unisex top, because me personally, I find that the women's cuts are a little bit too short.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And so say for instance, if I'm in the roastery and I'm lifting beans into the, you know, I don't want to be flashing, you know, we've got windows. Yeah. It's windows galore. Like you're on full show. So I just like wanted something with length and that was practical. And we use AS color as well. So I know the quality. And yes, so I've got obviously t-shirts. I have snuck in a few little hoodies just to test them out, and some singlets, because Dad's over in Port Hedland in Western Australia doing road train driving. And I was like, there's no way that he would want a hoodie in 40 degree heat.
Yeah, so no way.
I thought I'd get him a couple of singlets so that he can rep them in the truck.
Yeah, cool.
You know?
That's amazing.
So
cool.
So yeah.
That sounds so cool. Well, I'm very excited for that to come about. I know you've sent me a couple of little sneak peeks, which I'm very excited, and I can let the listeners know that they look fantastic and will be amazing when they become available. So
I'll drop them on Instagram and everything like cool. that, and I've got a little website underway.
Nice.
In the works. That's you know, just slowly building bits and pieces on it, and then eventually I will launch it and obviously spread the word.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
You know, tell everyone. Yeah. So
cool. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I know that's a very kind of personal thing. I don't take that lightly that you would be open and kind of honest to share that with us. So thank you.
So as a home barista, what would you say, from obviously being front of house barista to home barista, what's some of the biggest changes that you've had to basically adapt to at home?
Whoa, that is a fantastic question. And if I'm honest, there's so many. I think to start off with, I think on like a personal level, coming out of working front of house and behind a bar, going to and then moving to be a home barista, you've got more time. And I think as well, you've also got quite a lot more energy about yourself, because you're not waking up super early every single day. You've got a bit more life, you know, you've got a bit more energy. You've got just more time to kind of do stuff and to experiment with stuff. But also to like touch on a different side, it's also quite frustrating at the same time, because you don't have all of the same equipment. Of course, you've got all of the bits you'll use at home to make coffee. You've got potentially a decent grinder that's electric, or maybe you've paid a little bit of money and you've gone to get yourself a decent hand grinder. But what I mean by that too is that it's frustrating, because there's coffees you'll have from the company that you work for. So say if you work for a cafe that's got a roastery and you get to drink that coffee every day, you will know like ways you can get it to taste different working at the cafe, because you've got different machinery and you've got a grinder that will be able to grind a lot finer and a grinder that's then able to grind a lot coarser. So you've got a lot more room to play around with stuff. But at home, you don't potentially have all of that room. So it's a bit frustrating when you're working with a coffee that you know can taste really good, but you can't get it spot on.
Like it would be awesome if we could afford to have like a good old EK sitting on the bench at home.
100%. Like, I would be
that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be incredible, and I'd absolutely love it. But I know that my wife would not enjoy the price tag.
No, I don't even want to think of it. You know, even just like a decent little one. We had a I can't even think of the brand. Oh my gosh. That's just gone. The brand's gone, mm-hmm. but we had one turn up and me and my friend, we looked it up. My coworker. We looked it up and it was I think it was 7,000.
Ooh.
Brand new. And it was brand new as well. And I was just like, what is this?
For like a little, it was the, for like a little it was single like an group eagle, head.
What's it called? It was the Eagle... Victoria, that one.
Yeah, the Black Eagle, I think it's called.
That one. That's the one. Yeah. But it's in white and it's so crisp.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm. I saw it and I was like, okay.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I guess like the pros and cons would be obviously the grinding equipment, even the water could make a big difference to being at home and not. Yeah. Especially if your house is filtered or not.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, unfortunately, my house is definitely not filtered and we have got lovely pool water.
Oh, wow.
That comes out of the tap.
Nice.
Literally smells like the pools if you're running a bath.
Oh, wow.
You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have to say that's one of the very cool things about Christchurch is and one of the very first things I noticed when I moved down here is that the water here is really clean. It's really clean, it's really clear, and also it tastes really good as well, so that definitely helps me, like you say, that helps me when it comes to brewing coffee and trying different things as well. Like, I don't have to worry so much about what my water tastes like, and I suppose as well that keeps costs down, which is another thing in terms of being a barista at home is that if you want to invest in it and you want to do it well, so someone like myself, like I've invested a decent amount of money into the equipment that I have, but then there's a lot of people who then need to invest money into getting all those special little sachets and stuff you can get to bring the pH.
Yeah, like the peak waters.
Yeah, the peak waters, like the third wave water. I think it's called, like there's people that will invest in that because the pH levels in their water is like either too high or it's not quite right. So yeah, there's so much, I suppose there's so much that goes into it.
I wonder if Christchurch water though, if it was like that prior, because it's only just, was it yesterday that it was the 10-year anniversary since the beginning?
Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
I think it was. That I don't know how I remember that. Don't ask. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I wonder if that could be a factor that they had to maybe redo all the pipes and connections and all that kind of stuff. So,
that's it.
But maybe water quality.
Yeah. There you go.
But that's probably actually one of the biggest, the biggest factors in actually a good coffee.
Yeah. Water.
Is the water.
Yeah. Well, because
it could be a bean.
Exactly. It could be a bean, but you know, let's face it. And they say that, whatever the stats are or what people use, they say that like 98 or 99% of your coffee is actually water, which is true, you know, because it is. It's just like, well, you have to use water to brew it and extract all the flavors and
And to like how much you roast out of it, you know, you can roast quite a bit out, you know, depending on your style. So would you go back to hospa?
Oh, So I have a yes and no answer to this question. I'll start with my yes. My yes would be if I was to go back and start up my own cafe. I don't think I would want to work for another coffee brand again. Reasons being is just because I suppose, you know, I feel like the 5 years that I spent working within a couple of different cafes for a couple of different brands, I learned a lot. And I feel like I learned everything that I set out to learn, which is great. So I personally feel like I got everything I wanted to out of that. So now I'm at a point where I would love to put everything I've learned from that 5 years into doing my own thing.
Into your own.
And then I'll be able to try out different things, try some things that I wanted to try that I didn't particularly have the time to or didn't have or didn't really have the need to do it because I was working for someone else. Now I'm going to kind of open up a little bit here and give people part of the reason why I left HOSPO and why I came out of it is because so at the beginning of last year, so 2021, was the very first time in my life on a personal level that I suffered with my mental health. And that was just through, if I'm honest, that was just through thinking about work too much, working too much and not closing myself off from work when I left work. Like I would be working behind the bar, having a great time. And then I'd get home and I'd just be constantly researching stuff about coffee, constantly learning about coffee, taking in as much information as I could. And then it just all got a bit too much. And I think as well, through everything that's been going on over the last couple of years with COVID and the anxious thoughts of what's happening with the HOSPO world, you know, am I going to have a job?
For sure.
Yeah. Am I going to have a job next week? Am I going to have a job next month? Am I going to get paid this week? Are we going to make enough money this week to keep the cafe open?
Yeah.
Are we going to make enough money for me to make, for me to place the order for the following week? You know, it's all those things.
Yeah.
And I think, that would be my no. It's just because I went through like a really hard time and I'd go as far to say coffee and hospitality, it took over my life like completely.
Yeah.
And I was then putting it in front of everything else. So I was putting it in front of myself, in front of my own health. I was putting it in front of my marriage, putting it in front of my friendships.
Yeah.
And it just became everything that I thought of, I spoke about, I wanted to do. And it actually got to a point too where I was only happy when I was at work. And I think when you get to that point as well, that's when you have to check yourself a little bit because it's just like, well,
yeah, for sure.
Like if you haven't put things into place or you're starting to realize that you're not feeling yourself outside of work, then yeah, you just need to check yourself with that.
It's interesting. Like the way mental health works, especially within the last couple of years, like in every way, I think some person can, what's the right way of saying this? That every person has at least experienced some form of mental health within the last couple of years, solely because of the actions of COVID all around the world. But basically, like it's a blessing and not at the same time. As you say with HOSPO, you can get so submerged and you can fall down that rabbit hole. And some people are lucky to, you know, be able to get themselves out when they need to, or some people just keep falling. And there's nothing, say, wrong with, you know, fully diving in and solely wanting to just focus on one thing, but it's you need to still have your side wing mirrors having a look, see what's still going on. And you know, obviously with mental health on the side of grief kind of things, not only was it like a double whammy, but like, you know, that was the workspace as well. So having to overcome like it being their workspace as well as mine, and then having to kind of just restructure things alongside with COVID and grief for anyone would just be a little bit of a, but it was a good distraction. I will say that it was a really good distraction. But it's mental health, especially in hospitality, is a massive thing. Like as I said earlier, love your customer, you're hiding a lot of things, you know, having to act, and sometimes you can start acting at home. But it's as long as you've got your people around you that can either, that you're comfortable with pulling you out and calling you out, telling you how it is, then, you know, as long as you've got someone helping you check yourself as well, it's all good.
It's key. You know, it's definitely key. And that's a really good point to touch on. And I think, yeah, one of the things I want to add into that too is, it didn't really hit me, and I didn't realize it until my wife turned around to me one night and was just like, are you okay? And I was just like, do you know what? No, I'm not. And then it wasn't until that moment that I was just like, nobody's asked me that. But then I thought to myself, I was like, why has nobody asked me that? And it's exactly, and it's exactly what you say. I put this front on, you know, like I got to work. I was all smiles. Hi guys, good morning. Yeah, here's your flat white, here's your non-black. Well, have a great day. Like, yeah, life's so good. Yep. And then it's just like you close the doors for the cafe at 3 o'clock and it's like, bang. You know, just like dead face, like, oh my gosh, I'm wrecked, I'm drained, haven't had a break today.
Done. Yeah.
You know, like I'm done. Yeah, yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so easy to put that front on. And I think like one of the things I'd love to also touch on as well is just for the people that are listening here too, that if you know of somebody or there's somebody close to you that maybe you've been thinking about lately, and they're on your mind because something doesn't seem right, you know, just take the moment to go up to them and just be like, hey bro, sis, co-worker, whatever,
how's it,
are you okay, is everything okay, like how are you feeling, shall we go for a drink, shall we go for a beer, shall we go for a coffee, shall we go and get some dinner, shall we get some lunch? Or if there's a couple of cafe managers listening or a couple of leaders in that too, it's just like if you notice a difference within your team members, take them to the side and just, I don't know, just be kind of graceful in this season and just be like, hey, if you need a day off, have a day off. You know we can cope if you can cope. Of course, I'm not telling people to put themselves into a place that they can't, but it's like if you can cope and you don't need that particular person, maybe they just need to go and sleep for a whole day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, all it takes.
Yeah, it's like I'm like, we're quite lucky with, say, who we've got as our, you know, higher team and all that. And they're always just like, you know, they're telling me to go on holidays. And I'm like, I got nowhere to go, you know? And they're like, nah, but you've just been working. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do.
And as well, that's,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. But that's also another great point to touch on. It's just like, even if you don't have somewhere to go, just go home. Literally, just stay at home. Sleep, have like a hot shower, have a hot bath, you know, maybe
have a cry.
Yeah, literally have a cry, put on some soppy romantic films, get yourself a bar of chocolate, get a tub of ice cream, you know,
exactly. Just go all out,
and treat yourself,
you know,
yeah.
And it's like you just gotta. Because, like, your body does take its toll, especially depending on what you're working on. If you're working on concrete floors, like, look after yourself. You know, I've obviously got my lovely issues of having screws in my back because I broke it when I was younger. Woohoo! And so concrete doesn't necessarily agree with everyone. But, you know, go to chiro, go to physio, make sure you're doing sport or something, you know, that you have that release. Gym's good for it, you know. Even though it's not what you really want to do after doing like an 8 or 9 hour shift, but even if you just go for half an hour, it does help. So you have mainly been based in Wellington. Is it like you haven't done coffee anywhere else?
No.
As such, just Wellington?
Just Wellington, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, just Wellington. So, yeah. So I...
And prior to hospo?
Okay, cool. So prior to hospo, so for people that don't know, but if you've been listening for the time you have, you should have realized that I'm not originally from New Zealand. But yeah, so...
Really?
Yeah, I know, right? How crazy. Yeah, so originally from the UK, but before... So whilst I was in the UK, I worked as a furniture tester, which I know sounds mad, but is actually like a really cool job. But in the UK was kind of where like my, where I've, my very first take on coffee was, but it was very, but it was very Starbucks, because in the UK, Starbucks is like everything, like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
My very first date was Starbucks in the UK. And then in 2016, me and my wife, we traveled to Australia. And then that's where I got my very first experience of specialty coffee. And I was in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne, of course. Everyone on this side of the world will know Melbourne is like the, is like the coffee capital of like the Southern Hemisphere, is very true, because there was things there that I saw that I was just like, what the heck is this? But I was like, this is super cool, and I want to be in it, and I want to do it. So to go back a little bit, actually, when we were in Australia. So when we got to Australia, we landed and started out in Noosa in Queensland, which is beautiful. And there is a coffee roastery and company there that's called Clandestino Coffee Roasters. And they ran a little like home barista course. And so I put myself onto that course, which was really cool. So it was like 3 hours during the day. And they basically just taught you everything about coffee. Like, this is the machine, the portafilter, the grinder. This is how you do it. That's where I got my real first taste of being behind a machine. We came to New Zealand in 2017. And yeah, as you say, was based in Wellington for about 5 years. And then moved to Christchurch last year, 2022 in September. But yeah, my New Zealand coffee career was pretty much based in Wellington. So I started working for a company there in Wellington that was called Fuel Espresso. And that's where I got like the real basics. So even though I did that little course when we were in Australia, I then wasn't able to find myself a job that would allow me to just come in and learn. It wasn't until I started working for Fuel Espresso that I was able to get behind the machine every day, learned the basics of what it was to pull shots and steam milk. So I was with those guys for about a year, and then spent another year then working for a little cafe out in Lower Hutt of Wellington that was called Fellow. That was really cool. So that was a flight coffee customer. And so then that's where I like really kind of got into flight coffee and everything they did. And then got involved with the flight coffee guys to a certain extent. Got to go and visit the hangar, got to go and visit the roastery. For those of you that don't know, the hangar is Flight Coffee's flagship cafe. The moment that I walked in there, I was just like, I want to work in this place. I was like, this is really cool. And I definitely did that typical Instagrammable fashion hipster, you know, everyone looks real cool. You know, they've got tattoos, wearing beanies, like there's some like real cool chicks that are working behind the bar. I was like, they all look real cool. And I was just like, I want to be part of that team. So I was with Fellow for a year, and then I moved on and landed a job working with Flight Coffee in the hangar in 2019. And I was there for nearly 2 years. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Now it's such a cool space there. I've been in there a few times whenever I go down to Wellington. I'm always just on the mission to find new little places. And yeah, I think the hangar, and so definitely Pour and Twist.
Yeah, Pour and Twist is amazing.
Yeah, such a cool space. Cool people, cool space, everything. Yeah. And like it's just funny, like as you said, you know, the beanie, the tats, everything like that. I'm a clean canvas.
You are too.
I'm a clean canvas, you know. And so some people are just like, I feel like I almost don't get taken seriously. I don't have the look, you know.
How bad is that?
So you got to have the chat.
Yeah, you got to have the chat. How bad is that though? That people just, that how so many people still just think that there's a certain look, right? That you have to have this certain look to work as a barista. It's just like, no, you don't. Yeah. You know, if you're keen, you got the chats, you got the skills, you're ready to work hard, you're ready to get stuck in. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, it's like I got the glasses and the nose ring. That kind of counts. So there we go.
You do. You do. You know,
almost.
That's there. Like that's like a quarter of.
I just need a beanie.
Yeah. You just need a beanie. Yeah. But the glasses and the nose ring's like a quarter of what it is to become a barista.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, I probably will get some tattoos down the track. Hopefully Mum doesn't listen to that part. I know she doesn't like it, but I'm convincing her to get one as well.
Come on, Mum. Let Jay get some tattoos, please. Yeah,
come on, Mum.
They're perfectly fine. And also, it doesn't have to come out of your mum's wallet. Mum and daughter
time. Yeah, yeah, true. That is true. I'll be like, hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Your dad's got tats and everything, cool. So I'll probably get one with him eventually. Yeah, nice. But no.
Cool. Epic.
But yeah, no, it's been very cool, like, having this chat and everything. It has too. And, like, just, you know, just being able to ask the questions that usually wouldn't get asked over, say, social media or actually having that chat. Yeah. You know, socials can work in awesome ways, you know, to promote and to connect. Like, obviously, it's how we met, which is awesome. You know, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, even, like, in the world of COVID, what's going to happen, you know, for HOSPO and, say, competitions. You know, I was one of the ones that didn't get to go to Cup Tasters this year.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
I was really looking forward to going because obviously it got postponed last year as well, you know. So I think it's either being pushed back again, I think, maybe to like July or something, I heard.
Yeah, July maybe.
So, So fingers crossed, you know, because that would just be a really cool experience in its own, like, even just going and getting them all wrong would be great, you know. Or even just walking up to the table and just looking at them and being like, that one, that one, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You know? Yeah. Literally just.
You got a 1 in 3 chance.
Literally just being able to, like, tell which one's which by just looking at them. That would be amazing. I've won. Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
It'd be so much easier. No. And I feel like it would take, some of that pressure off of it too. Because just to kind of touch on that a little bit as well, with the Cup Tasters. So one of the beautiful things about working for Flight Coffee is that, of course, there's a lot of people within Flight that are classed as champions, right? In like the eyes of the coffee, like, comps and events and stuff that happen.
Yeah.
One of the guys there, of course, Alan, he's been the Cup Tasters champion like a couple of times. Which has been great. And so I had the opportunity and the honor, I suppose, to kind of see what went into it and, like, have a look at the training and stuff that he would do just to get ready for that event. And it was mad. And so
it's insane.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And, like, the things that he would do, he would kind of change a couple of, like, foods and stuff that he would eat. And then he would then eat, like, a lot more fruit. Yeah, there's such a big kind of flavor note within like, the coffee world is multiple different fruits. And so, yeah, just getting your palate ready and your taste buds ready to, like, what different fruits and stuff would taste like, what they would be like, what they'd smell like at the same time. You know, there was just so much that went into it. And I would be keen to get involved.
It's good fun. Like, even just the training side, like, you even just have to train your palate to just to be able to taste that amount of coffee. Like, if when you think of it, that's 3 rounds and there's what, say, eight times three on each table, I think that's it. Was.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, you know, of coffee. That's a lot. It's a lot of coffee. You know?
And then you have to take into consideration, which is like an actual thing, that you do get palate fatigue. You're tasting so many different flavors that then after like a while your palate's like, oh, stop, please, like, I don't know what's going on. You're giving me all these different flavors and then, like, your senses have gone weird. Your nose has gone weird and then your tongue starts feeling weird and it's just like, I can't taste anything. So yeah, like, I've got so much respect for those guys that do that.
Well, even the timing of it, you know, it's different from, say, when you're mid shift and the crew are just like, jump out back, we've got a cupping on the table, you're like, sweet, you know, but it's at 5 o'clock at night, the competition, you know. you gotta do your training and morning and night, you know, just see how it goes. And but no, it'll be interesting to see, like, what competitions come through New Zealand.
Yeah, it will be,
And, like, even just the latte arts and, you know, once things calm down a bit and we can kind of move around a bit more. It'll be quite cool to
Fingers crossed.
You know, Hospo coming around and because like with it being a bit of a hard time for a lot of Hospo crews and all that, you know, I'd like to think that Hospo looks after Hospo still goes around, you know, and so it'd be cool to maybe do like, you know, how New Zealand Specs and all that, they do the sausage fests, you know, and they send it around to places, you know, but actually do more of that to help even the smaller places and all that, just to get the,
And that's actually like a really cool thing to say, because I think as well, to give like people that are listening who aren't maybe living over here, just a little bit of like insight into that, like, because New Zealand, the population is so small, of course, on terms of hospo cafes and actually finding workers to come into hospo, is like, there's so many people that are struggling. There's so many cafes that are closing down, which is just a really sad thing to see. And I think that's unfortunately the downfall of New Zealand being such a small country in terms of the people that live here, that we do really rely on those tourists and those people that do come over, which I know kind of maybe goes against what we were saying a little bit earlier, that it's just like, we want people that are going to be more focused on making this an actual job instead of it being a seasonal thing. But we understand the importance, especially for people like yourself who live in those smaller towns, the smaller villages that are very much made, that are very much made around tourism. Right, it's just like, there's so much, there's so many cafes and so many restaurants there that are actually struggling at the moment because they can't find staff. So
100%
it's hard.
But it's like, say for instance, if anyone were to come over with their visa and everything like that, you know, and they could be here, say if they're on the 3-month working visa, you know, that's 3 months that it could be a part of their career, you know, that they're wanting to do a stint in New Zealand in hospo, you know. And at the moment, we're obviously, we would love that, you know, but it's a bit hard. So, but once that, you know, becomes a thing again, I think we'll see a lot of hospo coming back and, you know, new places, obviously, or fresh starts of places. You know, it could just be different venues, it could be, you know, different management, it can be anything, you know. And I guess a blessing in disguise, it's helped people kind of find out that they don't want to be in a certain role, or if they do, you know, and that's the pros and cons of being a barista, you know, as well.
So true. Nice. Cool. So I've just got one more question to finish off with. What are you focusing on for this year in 2022? And also, where do you see yourself going within the coffee industry? And also, where do you see yourself going with your coffee influencer page on Instagram?
Yes. So Your Local Barista, which is the at handle, Your Local Barista NZ.
It's definitely a team.
Well, this is the thing, you know, it's kind of endless being Your Local Barista. It's ideally, I'd like to see it as a big umbrella. So just because I'm the local barista at Workroom doesn't mean that my partner who works at Box can't be a local barista as well. You know, so there could be some really cool little collabs if people are wanting to jump on the Your Local kind of bandwagon.
Yeah, I love
all that kind of stuff. But for me personally, coffee-wise, obviously just wanting to smash out roasting, that's a new upskill, because like a lot of people think that you have to be a barista first to be a roaster, but you can kind of just jump in wherever, you know, you can do it the other way, you know, but that's mainly what my focus is at the moment, coffee-wise, is roasting and obviously just learning as much as I can there. And yeah, getting some really cool beans out and, you know, having a big play. But yeah, social media, t-shirts, bit of merchy stuff. Yeah, options are endless.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I suppose that's the beautiful thing about 2022. It's just like, we're all at a point where we're just like, we just want to crack on, you know, we want to we just want to get back to life, you know,
we just want to do stuff.
We want to do stuff. We want to get around again. We want to travel. We want to we want to put some plans into place. We want to bring some visions to life at the same time, you know. So super cool. Alrighty, cool. Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah. Appreciate
That's been awesome.
No, you're so welcome. Appreciate your honesty. Appreciate you being open. And yeah, just appreciate you being here. So thank you so much for jumping on.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good. Feel free to give me a buzz anytime.
Totally. I totally will. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it's cool. Been great.
Thanks, Jay. Well, everyone, I hope that you all enjoyed that episode and that you feel as if you know Jay a little bit more. Make sure you head over to Instagram and give her a follow. Her handle is @yourlocalbaristaNZ. Thank you again, Jay. I really appreciate you and your time. I love how we touched on so many different topics within this episode, but the overriding theme was being a barista is fun and also super hard work. But with the right work ethic, confidence, and goals in mind, it is a very rewarding career. Now, during our conversation, we touched on mental health and how it is affecting people right now and how it has been affecting people for a very long time. Now, I would love to let you all know that my DMs are always open if you ever need someone to talk to about anything. And I mean anything, guys. Please just drop me a message. I can also speak on behalf of Jay, as I know that she would say the same thing if she was here with me right now. So that's the end of the first episode of Coffee Chats with My Barista Friends. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback about today's episode, guys, please let me know by emailing me on thedrumminbarista@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to hear from you. But before you go, make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button. It will mean so much to me, and you will also get an update when the next episode drops. So guys, thank you so much, and I will see you next time here on the Home Barista Podcast for Home Baristas.